Today, I'm going to talk about acknowledging the dark. You know, I have a frozen shoulder. I have a frozen left shoulder. I've had it for years, and I've dealt with it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to get serious about it. So a friend of mine's a chiropractor, and I go to him, and I do these exercises. And he makes sure I'm in pain. You know what I like about pain when it ends? I'm not a pain fan. You know, I used to play basketball a lot in college. A friend of mine goes, you know, pain just reminds me I'm alive. I don't need that reminder, okay? So anyways, you know, I do all these exercises and I push it. And then at the end of the week, he goes, come into this room with me. And he lays me down. And he goes, tell me when to stop. And since I'm a man and we have this false sense of bravado, I go past where it hurts. Okay, stop. Then he goes, okay, let's count to 10. 1, 2, I'm going, and I'm sweating like a pig. He's laughing, goes, hey, you got the cold sweats. So that goes on for like 15 minutes. Why do I do that? I'm not an idiot. I don't want a frozen shoulder. I will go through pain to be healed. Why is he talking about that today? Because I'm going to talk about some things today. It's such an encouraging message. But you might get a couple ouches along the way. Isn't that great? That God loves us so much. You know, Proverbs says, I read it today, if you don't discipline your kids, you what? Hate them. Oh, but I want them to love me and think I'm warm and cuddly. I was always a parent before as a friend because my job was to raise them up to live in this world and hopefully keep their eyes on Jesus. So today I'm talking about acknowledging the dark. Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Okay. Lord, we're going to talk about today our hearts. We're going to talk about the darkness. What do I mean by that? We all have darkness within us. We have great potential for great things. Oh boy, do we have potential for sin. I want to talk about honesty today, Lord. I want to talk about we need to be honest about our conditions so that we quit looking inward and we continue in greater measure to look upward and to trust in you. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you will reveal anything in us that does not please you. Let us be like the psalmist and pray, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, show me what is in me that is wrong, that is evil, that is wicked. And let me be satisfied and happy knowing that you're calling me to live your way rather than mine. In your name, amen. You know, 44 years ago tomorrow, I came into a relationship with Christ. You know, I was an unchurched 20-year-old, full of himself, had the world by the tail, so I thought, until God got a hold of me. Now, you know what I realized after I gave my relationship to Christ? I wasn't perfect. I didn't accept Christ, then all of a sudden have a pure thought life. I didn't accept Christ, and then I wanted to quit doing the wrong things because I still had the remnants of the sin nature within me, and we do until the day we die. It wasn't an automatic joyride that all of a sudden I was accomplished in who I was called to be. I'm reading a book by Lance Witt called Replenish. It's a book for pastors, And this one chapter, again, did I say this is for pastors? So if I can receive this, so can you. It's called Stay in Touch with Your Dark Side. And he explains how Christian leaders from a long time ago would talk about debauchery, would talk about sin nature, etc., etc. And in today's lovey-dovey world, we move away from that. Well, isn't it great? We ain't lovey-dovey today. We all have the potential to live magnificently righteous lives, but we also all have the potential to act out great sinfulness and debauchery, which is really just looking out for your sensual pleasures. Today I'm talking about understanding our potential for sin needs to move us to rely on Jesus Christ. The first point I'm going to make is place your trust in Christ Jesus. Now, you're in church, you're sitting here, and I know you're all looking at that and you're going, that is me. Sign your name under it. Oh, when everything goes smoothly, I have the greatest faith in the world. How about the Christians in Hawaii? You know, Greg Laurie has a Harvest Church over there that is in the midst of it. You see, when everything goes smoothly, it's great. But let me tell you what I want to talk about today. I'm an American. I've been American my whole life. I don't wear it on my sleeve. And it ain't getting me into heaven. The right candidate isn't going to bring this country back. Jesus Christ is our only answer. What Jeremiah is talking about in this chapter is the Israelites were feeling pressured by Assyria and Babylon, and Jeremiah is saying you're starting to look to the Egyptians rather than to God. The elections are coming up. Do we like as Christians the direction our country's headed in? Probably not. Our country is divided. Without Jesus Christ at the center, that division is going to get wider. Yes, we have had presidents that are more Christian friendly. I understand that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to look to people for help, but our ultimate trust has to be in Jesus Christ. When we focus on people too much, we weaken our dependence on Jesus. You know, I read the devotion, My Utmost for Its Highest, by Oswald Chambers, and I like what he did this week. He talked about Elijah and Elisha. It was good for Elisha to have Elijah in his life. When the time came, God removed Elijah. Years ago, I'm a young home group leader. And Melody and I meet with this person, and they go, you know, I meet with my home group leader every week. I said, okay, let's meet next week. We did that 2 weeks in a row. Then I said, let's wait a couple weeks. We did that twice. I said, I'll call you. So 3 months later, I called her, and she met with us. She had steam coming out of her ears. You've abandoned me. You didn't meet with me as much as I wanted. I said, well, what happened? I had to go to God on my own. She looked at me and said, you did that on purpose. I will not have anybody rely on me. I will let you down. I have let my family down. I have let my wife down. I have let people down. You will let me down. Why? You are a living human being. We need to focus on God. It's misguided to place our trust in any kind of human power instead of Christ. In Isaiah 31, Isaiah writes, the Egyptians are man and not God. Republicans are man and not God. Democrats are man and not God. Independents are man and not God. We need Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be in God's Word. Young people, you need to be in God's Word because you're being fed a bunch of lies from the humanistic religion of this world. Older people, we need to be in God's Word so when you watch the news, you don't say, oh, I'm a conservative, this must be true. I hope you don't take everything I say at face value. I hope you're in the Word and you're making sure my words line up with God. You can't trust me or any pastor completely. We need to be Bereans and study the Word. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. It's prideful to place your trust in yourself or in any other person. And I find when I start to think I'm all that, God brings me to my knees and he humbles me. Maybe I put the wrong date up on a slide. Maybe I do something even stupider. But you know what? God will humble us because he doesn't want us to bring a following. You know, I listen to all kinds of different preachers on the radio. I like Chip Ingram. He says, you know what? He can't stand it when people say, hey, I go to Joe Schmoe's church or I go to Chip Ingram's church. You know, you go to New Covenant. You don't go to a man's church. You go to God's church. You go to the church that God called you to go to, not the one that you like the best, not the one that God says, I want you to be here. That's looking to the Lord and not yourself. Have you ever been disappointed by anyone? We all fall short. That's what I'm talking about today. We have a bunch of darkness in it. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Abraham in Genesis 12 is called the father of faith. Why? God called him to leave his homeland, everything he knew, and to go to a new place, and he obeyed God. Are you willing to lay it all down and go to a new place? Are you willing? Because we are as a church. We're going to a new place. Are you going to be uncomfortable? Yes, you are. Why? I don't want what we have now. Forever. I want the new that God has. I was listening to Focus on the Family, and I thought it was funny because I'm just saying, when I listen to Focus on the Family, I think of old people. I like what this guy said. He says, you know, he's talking about the church is all involved in raising children. He's talking about worship. He says, if you have worship and maybe it's a little geared toward the new people and, you know, some of our seasoned vets don't like it, think about this. You are already saved. So deal with it and let's move in a direction that reaches out to somebody else, to the youth. You know, as a church, he's been telling us, get ready to embrace the new. Now, let me tell you, it's uncomfortable for me, but that's okay. That's okay. I want God. I want to look to me. You know, Jeremiah 9 through 10, the heart is deceitful above all things. Guess what? He's talking about you. And he's talking about me. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Romans 12 talks about as we give ourselves over to the Lord, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If I don't have a prayer life, if I don't read God's word, if I'm not in fellowship, if I don't join a home group, if I'm not active, I'm not going to grow. When I sat at home, I could have sat at home and watched a physical therapist on YouTube, but if I didn't do it, I'm not going to get better. So I'm going to go, and he's going to hurt me, but I know it's to break up the scar tissue and I'm going to get better. So sometimes maybe what I'm doing today is breaking up the scar tissue of your heart so that God can move. I'm talking about faith and trust today. I'm talking about please don't trust yourself too much. I laugh whenever I read Jeremiah 17:9, because I have a friend of mine and he would quote this verse ad nauseum. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Please realize the book that I read is talking to pastors. It's saying, pastors, realize there's a darkness inside of you. Come to grips with it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to be a perfect Christian, but go forward. You know, I have the ability to make my marriage fantastic. I have the ability to ruin it too. I have the ability to love my kids in such a way that, man, we got a great relationship. I got an ability to tear that apart too. Why do you think James talks about the tongue? Because Christians, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. Have you ever said anything in the last month that as soon as you said it, you wish it wasn't what you had done? That's because we still have a struggle with our old sin nature. It's healthy to look at and admit your potential for sin and your need for Jesus Christ. Dr. James Dobson once said, when a man says he doesn't struggle with his thought life, then I really get worried. Part of the reason, and I know I've taken grief about this, I talk about women, be careful how you dress, is because men are sight stimulated. That is how God created us. And I don't want people to have to struggle with their thought life in church. I want it to be on Jesus Christ, because I am here to live my life in a way that blesses you, and you're here to live your life in a way that blesses us. But what I'm talking about today is we're not there yet. We all fall short, and we all have a wickedness that creeps up in us sometimes. Robert Davidson wrote about verses 9 and 10, and he says verses 9 and 10 are a reflection on the mysterious perversity of the human mind. Now he's talking to Christians. 9 and 10 are a reflection on the mysterious perversity of the human mind. Don't trust yourself. Don't give yourself the freedom to go it alone. Well, I don't need church right now. I don't need fellowship right now. I don't need home groups right now. Okay, yeah. That's a recipe for disaster. Every time I look to myself rather than to God, I have ended up in the thick of it. You see, we are more broken than we can understand, which is why we got Jesus. He wants to heal us. He wants to perfect us. In Isaiah 6, when Isaiah sees the Lord in all his glory, he says, "Woe to me, for I am ruined, for I am a man with unclean lips." You ever read through the Beatitudes? They should make you, if you're like me, they make you uncomfortable, because they show me, oh man, do I fall short. That's what Jesus wanted. He wants me to see how much I need him, but you know, he's not saying, you're a dog. He said, come on, man, I'm going to make you better. With me, all things are possible. So I'm not going to look to myself to be super Christian. I'm going to look to God and say, God, forgive me. I'm a man of unclean lips. After Isaiah does this, what does God do? He sends an angel to cleanse him and to purify him, and he uses Isaiah. So once we get to the place where we say, God, I agree, I'm a dog, okay. Francis Fillon says this about sin in us. The closer you get to God, the more miserable things you will find in your heart. Are you encouraged yet? This is not a negative thing. Hello. God allows it to let you lose confidence in yourself. You will have accomplished something when you can look at your inner corruptness without anxiety or discouragement and simply trust in God. I think part of the biggest thing in my ministry that God uses me, I want people to look at me and say, if he can use him, he can use me. Because man, that is true. My next point is, okay, I already did that one. God's idiot. One of the funniest things my wife ever said to me, I'm glad you're sitting, it's hard to understand. I did something outrageous or I said something I shouldn't have, whatever. And my sweet, loving wife looks at me and laughs and goes, you're an idiot, but you're my idiot. I'm God's idiot. Dallas Holmes, who is he? You got to be older to know that name. I'll be a fool for you, Jesus. Don't laugh, you're idiots too. I mean, come on, you think you're free from that comment? But God wants to use us. You don't think God has a sense of humor? Take 2 seconds to look around. You're not doing it. Look around. You see, God wants to use you. Hey, if I'm building the New York Knicks, ain't nobody in this room I'm picking, but God wants to use you guys. When the Bible tells us we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that means me and you. Just accept it. I am not telling you to accept sin in your life. Do not get deaf on my message. Do not do the false grace that's in the world today. When you sin, I want you heartbroken. I do want you grieving on the inside. I am a man of unclean lips. But then you repent, you turn to God fully, you seek his forgiveness and move forward, because that's what he wants us to do. I was talking to somebody this week, believers, we are sanctified. We are set apart. We need to live it. We are called to live righteous lives. We are not called to live lives that makes me feel good. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives. Jesus Christ now lives in me, Paul says. That is a fallacy. I mean, that's the truth the church in America has to grab a hold of, because the fallacy is you can do whatever you want because you're still saved. I'm sorry, the more we give in to sin, the more we turn off being in tune with the Holy Spirit. But when you fall short, don't beat yourself up. I am so good at that. I beat myself up and I go after it and but I need to use these times to let it be a catalyst for me to look to God for help. Say, Lord, I screwed up again, boom, help me, Lord, and I need to pray. What steps can we take to be the people God desires us to be? I'm glad you asked. We all need checks and balances. Everybody in this room, you need an accountability partner. Everybody. When I talk to people and say, my thought life's good, I'm not a cynical person, but I don't believe them a bit when I'm talking about men. Now, what do I mean by accountability partner? It is not your spouse. It is not a member of the opposite sex. One of the hardest things is, when I first started dating my wife, she's up in nursery, she would tell you this too, is I had to say, well, men are sight stimulated, so we got to be careful how we dress here. I like to let that sink in, because this is when people get mad at me in their hearts. And if you're mad at me, take it to God. But I found out I needed somebody to talk to. I needed somebody to be honest. I remember I was working for the church. I was really going through some stuff, and I met with the pastor, with Peter Mayer, and I thought he's going to fire me, and I just unload all the garbage in my life. And he laughs and goes, oh, you too? Welcome to being a man. Now, I understand women can't understand that per se, but that's why, and this is one of the problems when we deal with people in marriage, when the man has a problem with, I don't care if it's fault life, pornography, or whatever, it's really not an affront to the woman. I mean, you can have the best marriage in the world, but this is how men are, and we can misuse how we're built. So it's not per se a negative to you, it's just that men are dogs. Men are dogs. The older they get, It's like an old bastard hound that's laying in the sun. I get it. But when you're younger, man, you're like a puppy. You're a dog. You need an accountability partner that you can share your life with, the good, the bad, the ugly. Mike Bartholomew talked here for last week. I've been speaking to him for 20 years about my life. Peter Mayer's coming next month. I've been talking to him for 40 years about my life. I get together with Pastor Wade Smith almost every week. And guess what we do? We ask the hard questions and we don't mamby-pamby around it. Why? I want to be held accountable. If you're not held accountable, you're going to be deceived. Spouses, I give you permission to ask your husband, to ask your wife, hey, who's your accountability partner? I'm going to start going to my leaders. Hey, I'm giving you 2 weeks. You're going to call me a name. And I want you to do this weekly. Why? Because I love God's church. And I love you guys. And one of the biggest problems in the world today is isolation. I used to live across the street from my pastor. My personality, I was a lot more private than I am today. I wasn't social. I didn't like that kind of thing. Where if I'm going through a bad time, I just want to be left alone. Man, I used to be able to watch NFL football from 1 o'clock until it ended at what, 10 or 11 at night. Just leave me alone. Till I get a knock on the door. Hey, we're going for a walk. Say, have fun. I said, no, you don't get it. You're going with me. Why? Because he knew I wasn't in a good place. I had an accountability partner when a person from up north, the wife would call me and say, hey, would you call my husband today? Don't tell him I called. I always loved that. Ask him to go to a movie or something. So I would, and we'd talk, and I'd find out his life really stunk. Don't be in bondage over guilt. We're all sinners. The only person without sin was Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, don't embrace that's who you are. Yes, I still have the old nature in me. That's why I make sure I have safety valves, 3 people in my life that can talk to me about anything. My finances, my thought life, my marriage, my kids, how I spend my time. Let me look at your checkbook. Look at my checkbook and see how I spend my money. I got nothing to hide. Because I know I cannot trust myself. Being honest makes us healthier. And that's what this chapter in the book was about. I had a friend of mine who went to a pastor's conference. They said 70% of all pastors have a porn problem. I'm talking about pastors. Why am I talking about this stuff today? It makes me squirm. Good. Whatever is done in the dark needs to be brought to the light. We all have the potential for garbage, but Jesus Christ wants to use us. Isaiah said, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. God, take the coal, cleanser, you're purified here, I'm going to use you. Look at the New Testament. Who wrote most of it? A murderer named Paul? Who wrote a lot of the Psalms? A murderer named David? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Stinking wimp. Oh, but God redeemed them. God wants to redeem you, New Covenant. I just want us to step forward. And I am dead serious. I really do want us to have accountability partners. We need it. It's healthy. We are being transformed. We aren't a finished product yet. Don't deny the darkness you have in you. Be honest, first with yourself, then with God, then an accountability partner. We can overcome in Christ. Place your trust in Jesus Christ. Part of the reason I wanted to speak on this today is I grieve over the sorrow I see in Christians that I meet with because they're not perfect and they struggle with something for years. That's okay. Years ago, I was counseling a pastor that had a problem with the internet. And I assured him by saying, "Don't worry, this will be a problem until you die or become incapacitated and can't use a keyboard." Why would you say that? Yeah, because it's true. He's going to quit the ministry. Don't do that, man. We're walking together, and it wasn't around here. We're walking together. You're not perfect. My sin shows me my need for Christ, not to accept it, but to understand who I am, that I'm a fallen person, that Christ has redeemed. I still have struggles, but let's go forward together and let's not quit. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Well, those people in church are great. I'm not going to church. But no, we're all fallen. Let's pray right now. Jesus, the word I wanted to say today, we all have the potential for sin in us. How often is that addressed in the New Testament talking to believers? Your word tells us so many times how you hate pride. Pride is any place where we look to ourselves or to anything other than you. Lord, I'm encouraged by this message. I'm encouraged when I read that chapter. Not to accept my downfalls, but to turn to you and know that you're saying, "Hey, New Covenant, I want you to come up higher. Man, I got stuff for you. But I'm this, I'm that." You're not telling God anything new. He knows it already. He just wants us to acknowledge it, not to hide it, not to play super Christian. But at the same time, don't be a victim and drone on and on and on and on about your sins either. I'm not going there. What I'm saying is acknowledge it to God. Acknowledge it to your accountability partner. Pray, move forward, repent. Don't live that way anymore. And trust Jesus Christ, for God is taking us to a new place. Blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Lord, we're going to be trees planted by the water. We're going to understand the heart is indeed deceitful above all things. That is part of our human nature. We will not be perfected until we go home to be with you in eternity. But Lord, I am called to live a righteous life. It's not to embrace or accept the sin that rises up in me at times, but it's to look to you, to repent, and to move forward. I thank you, Lord, that you're calling us to this season. I thank you that we as a church are moving forward, O God, and I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be ashamed, that we wouldn't be embarrassed and go into hiding. I admit, when I have my conversations with my friends, with Wade Smith, Lord, I am sometimes anxious. Then we pray, and you move powerfully. Let us step into your goodness and all that you have called us to be, Lord. Let us accept nothing less than your potential in our lives. Bless these marvelous people in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Blessings. Have a good day.